Blog Talk Radio.
Well, well, well. All of you are here with us tonight. We hope that you are able to join in with us. So we're definitely going to be having fun tonight. We're going to be talking about a lot of stuff that I'm sure all of you are going to be interested in. So hopefully you will provide us with your undivided attention. And we give you something that you can take back and share with your family from a historical perspective. All right, all right, all right. All right now, y'all. Time now is 8 o'clock right here in Oklahoma City. And we just want to thank all of y'all for tuning in with us. Guess what? We're about to have some fun. We want to thank everybody for tuning in. And as always, you're going to be able to talk to us and tell us what you think about what's going on. And hopefully you can share your opinion, your ideas, and your thoughts. There's no such a thing as a right or wrong. What you have to say, you will not be ridiculed. We will accept it and bring you into the forefront of what we are expecting, how we feel, how we see things, and how we are going to continue and give you the recognition that you need. Black Wall Street is our topic tonight. Now, if you look at Black Wall Street, oh, man, let me tell you what, that was a devastating reality, a frightening reality that occurred in the Greenwood District of 1921. Wow, y'all. Listen to what I'm trying to tell y'all. This was an affluent black community that was devastated by a white supremacist mob orchestrated by the United States government. It destroyed an African-American community that was self-thriving, self-dominant, self-supported, an indelible, important, and dominant role in American capitalism. You heard me. The work of black folks without the help of outside interference developed more than 30 blocks of black historic perspective, y'all. Wow. When you hear things like that, then I get motivated. I'm just going to tell y'all. I get motivated more so than any of you can even think. I mean, let me tell y'all something. You know, I get fired up when I get thinking about how my black folks, on their own, showing the very unique, talented, and worthwhile knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that they possess prior to coming to the Western Hemisphere, what we call Northern America. I just want all y'all to understand that. Because without us, the world, I mean, it's no secret, man. We're not talking about racism or anything. I mean, we just keep it real, okay? You know, black folks are the beginning and the end. As the Bible says, we have to figure the beginning and the end. If it were not so, I wouldn't be telling you that. We have to be given the recognition and realities so that we can believe that we are important and significant to today's societies and standards. We're going to be letting some of y'all speak here before long, and we want you to identify yourself, tell us what state you're in, and also we want you to feel again that this is y'all's show, man, okay? I just want to say a little bit more before we get started here off into the real topic real strongly. Again, if y'all have any ideas, please, please call us. I mean, because like I say, man, I get impressed, I get motivated by what you tell me we need to do as far as the possible realm of settling and identifying with our true culture, our heritage, our God, our religion, our education, our job opportunities, our very existence. You are gods of the earth, black folks. I mean, I'm just going to tell you, now, I'm not going to hold no punches tonight. We're going to get on with it. Get on it, not at all. Okay? Bottom line. In 1921, Tulsa's Oklahoma Greenwood District, known as Black Wall Street. Now, listen to this, y'all. Y'all heard of the New York Black Wall Street, right? So that Wall Street is synonymous with opulence, wealth, affluence. So when you get a name in Oklahoma, Tulsa, with the name Black Wall Street, like the Black Wall Street in New York, think about that, y'all. Black Wall Street was the creator, listen carefully, from which the White Wall Street got its name. Y'all heard me. The White Wall Street up there in New York adopted this name. Why? Looking at the opulent lifestyle of what black folks did in Tulsa in 1921, how they were surviving before this ice riot that killed more than 300 people, black folks,
But let me tell y'all something. Y'all ready for this one? Man, those black folks fought to the finish. They didn't just lay around and let them take it. Of course, they were out, man, because, like I said, the government had guns and weapons that the black folks didn't have. Plus, they had more people they deputized and destroyed Black Wall Street from what it was tremendously, oh, man, it was independent. It had grocery stores. It had supermarkets. It had banks. It had loan companies. It had schools, newspapers, theaters, restaurants. I'm talking about black-owned stuff, y'all. Y'all don't hear me. The white government saw, with its white supremacist attitudes, that if they allowed that black, well, listen carefully, y'all, that if they allowed that black city to exist independently of its own, it would have eventually been the forefront from which every other business, every other person who came in and toured would be recognizing that, and actually Tulsa would be running the United States as well as Oklahoma as well. Why? Because it would have expanded more than the 35 blocks of black-owned businesses that it had become before it was destroyed in 1921. Now, according to the realization and according to news reports, there was a young boy who attempted to rape a white woman. Her name was Sarah Page, okay? Whites in the area refused to wait for the so-called investigation process of what they do. It sparked 2 days of unprecedented race riots, race violence. I mean, this winter just started shooting people up and pulling women out of their stores and babies out of their cribs, and black-owned businesses were destroyed, and, oh, man, homes went up in flames, and then they got in the street parading how they were had us running in every which way, in every direction, trying to save our lives. Man, 35 blocks of black businesses went up in flames, y'all. 300 people died, and terribly speaking, 800 more were injured. This was so-called in defense of a white woman's virtue. Okay, much like the Emmett Till situation, where the white lady lied on him after all these years. Where, how come she's not in jail? How come she's not in prison? Because she destroyed this young man's life and got him lynched because of a racist white supremacist lie. Now, come on, y'all. Y'all know we're going to play with it tonight. We're going to get down with it. Get down, and we ain't going to speak out at all. Bottom line. This collective violence has been going on and perpetrated against us here in the Western Hemisphere, our people land. We are not tolerating any longer, man. This has to be straightened out. Now, according to this of Ms. Page, Roland, was his name was Dick Roland, the youngster, was spoken in an elevator in a Drexel building, okay? Now, according to them, the black whites, the black mob arrived at the courthouse, okay, and the scuffle broke out, shots were fired, okay. Blacks were outnumbered, so they headed back to Greenwood. But guess what? They didn't come there to say, okay, well, y'all just going to lynch this young man without our presence. We're going to fight for this young man, okay? And the white folks got so damn mad. Damn, what do these niggas get this guy, this kind of uppity, we're going to fight back attitude from? We're not used to this. So they began looting and burning the business. But look here, y'all. It was sponsored and supported, listen at this, by the United States government and the government of the state of Oklahoma, the law enforcement agencies and senators and legislators in the state of Oklahoma, and sheriffs who deputized white supremacist mobs who were, that's all they needed to legally justify killing, maiming, and destroying our black property. Wow. That is something. Oh, my God. That is something. Man, I see you, John Tom. What's going on? Y'all talk to me out there. Now, y'all better slow me down, boy. I'm on fire tonight. I'm telling you, man. You know, give me a break.
It's touching when we talk about, you know, Black Wall Street, because even up until this day, you know, they still have not, they still continuously build on that same site and add extra stuff to the site down there in Tulsa. And you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Like, it's so more of our ancestors still in the dirt, and now they don't have a proper burial.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Being black, being from Oklahoma, you know what I'm saying? Like, they try to hide the, you know, Black Wall Street stories and how, you know, it was not just only us. It was, you know, it was in many different places. So that's why I try to people and get them up on their history. Like everything that they're doing to us now, they've been doing this. You know what I'm saying? We just have not stood up and told them, we're done with that. You know, we're not going to continue to you finances and do all these things to keep us still oppressed. How every time a black person decides they want to apply for a loan or they want to invest in their business, they give them hell and high waters. And it's ridiculous. We can't, you know, grow, you know, in the community like our so-called counterparts because we are black. And if we get to a certain level of wealth, you know, we have to sell ourselves as black people in order to stay in that position to these white oppressors. It's no more of that. It's no more of that. You know, we can be successful, but we have to be dangerous and guard ourselves against people that try to taint our community or taint the upbuilding of Black Wall Street again. We just don't want Wall Street here in Oklahoma again, but everywhere else, because we deserve to live in peace and to establish our own wealth amongst our community. They don't want to see that happen. They barely even want to see us in a room, in a job, two or three black folks together talking, that is considered as somewhat of a threat to them. So take it, you know, listen to the stories, get into your history, because everything that they've been doing, they still are going to continue to do that as long as it keeps working for them to keep us oppressed. So we're going to have to get up on our history. We're going to have to look at how does history affect us now as black people, as black women, as black men, as you having black children in this world? This is what they're going to grow up having to face. So we have to not only prepare ourselves, but prepare the generation behind us to be equipped with the tools that they need to defeat this illusion that we have now of black people can only be in a musical category or entertainment. When we have doctors, we have lawyers, we have, you know, people in accounting, in business. So we're going to put our foot in the black community, and we're going to tell you enough is enough. If you want to sit here and you want to tarnish us, we're going to have our arms, we're going to have our own army, we're going to have all this to protect our wealth this time around. It ain't no more Black Wall Street finna happen. It's going to have to be a bloodshed. Sorry, but I'm not for real. 100 because they slaughtered us across this country.
Let's keep it real.
Because we only wanted to establish our own wealth. We wasn't harming them. Wasn't even bothering them. Our own space. So think about that. You're building something that is going to withstand the test of time when it comes to preparing yourself to be armed. You know, start doing things on your own. Start, if you want to start a business, start your business. You know, don't worry about them. But we have to stay dangerous. We have to stay vigilant because of the history of these people that want to keep us oppressed. So that's all I got to say.
Woo, man, you must be on fire tonight. You must have got mad. Somebody made you mad today or something.
No, nobody made me mad.
Oh, you know, No, you fired up. But see, you boy, we have to understand that. Let me veer off just a little bit to bring everybody up to speed as well. See, the Tulsa race riot, even though that's our main topic tonight, that wasn't not by far the only race riots that blacks have been subjected to. Let me give y'all just a few of them. Okay, the Christina riot in Lancaster County in Pennsylvania in 1851, that was the disastrous one. The Cincinnati riot of 1853, Ohio, that was a disastrous one. 1855 Cincinnati riot, that was disastrous. I'm not going to keep going on and on because there were bloody massacres going on long before the Tulsa race riot. But I'm interested, y'all, in the Tulsa race riot more so than ever, then I'm going to let some of y'all speak more. The problem with that, y'all, listen carefully now. Black schools were burned down. Families were killed. Disoriented. Displaced. More than 9,000 people became homeless, y'all. So when you look at this homelessness around our communities today, it's symbolic of what that white supremacist, no good, stinking, diabolic government subjected those black folks to because of their independence their strongness, their strength, their ability, their intelligence, and education. 35 blocks of their own black food business company. You know what that was going to say to them? Man, that's going to be a dangerous fight. We better go down and tear that place up. They use airplanes, bombing measures, killing us, raping babies and families. And I'm not saying this, y'all be saying it. This was such a devastating outcome. Guess what? That the white community was unapologetic and boasted of, we're tearing down the black banks. We're tearing down the black hotels. We're tearing down the black black cafes. We're tearing down the black clothing stores. We're tearing down the black movie theaters. We're tearing down the black contemporary homes. Huh? Because they did not have a personal hand in on the opulent lifestyle of black folks dressing nice, driving nice cars. I mean, children going to schools of prestige. Okay? Not to mention that the luxury, y'all, we had outdoor plumbing and remarkable school system that was superior to educated black children. Y'all didn't hear me. I'm telling y'all. Now, somebody told me, then I'm going to give the floor to y'all. Somebody told me that the worst thing we could have been subjected to was that forced desegregation. Man, we had so much greater thing. I'm just going to tell y'all now, in retrospect, we had so many great things before this forced disruption of this segregation system, before it was integrated. Man, y'all, we had, oh, my God, stores, houses, homes, oh, man, businesses. And we're doing great. But because we got complaining, separately equals not nice. They use that to tear down. Watch this here. They use that same system like they did to tear down Black Wall Street and use that to the day that they used with Martin Luther King. Not necessarily Martin Luther King was bad, but the fact that because he loved people, I believe. But and as a matter of fact, did you not hear him say, I think I've led my people down to a burning bush, a burning highway? Think about it. He even said, he got in rest of faith, he said, man, I think I messed up here. Damn. You see, so he was really legitimate, but then he got to realize before he died, he said, man, I think I made a doggone mistake here, man. A burning house. Oh, man. So when we think about that, Joyce, I see y'all on there as well. So what do y'all think about that so far? Y'all talk to me. Joyce, me, at y'all. I mean, talk to me. What's up? Somebody get online and let me shut up.
I say something about that, you know what I'm saying, about what Michael's, Lord Jesus. Sorry, I've been having brain fog all day. At the end of his, at the end of his life, that he didn't lead us into, you know, that trap that they have set. He know because he saw a vision, you know, his dream that we could all just live in peace. Y'all live here anyway. Like, y'all can't send us back, so you might fail. You know what I'm saying? Live in peace with us. But he saw that they were never going to do that at the very last minute. And for him to say, still be a part of history, you know what I'm saying? It gives us look at, like, you know, even though we are wanting the full, we're willing to be the people in the community, calm, loving, all these different aspects of us as we still are to this point, you know. But at the same time, we got to understand that they may not want that thing. And that's where we're at this point in time, is that we've been pushing for peace, but all we've been getting back was war. And we have to quit putting our hand out there and saying, you know, we want peace. Look at us. I mean, calm. No, we're not doing that. We've tried that so long. We've tried
you're
to
not
look
ask for
peace.
No more. No.
You know, it's not working. You don't ever want to give us that. So him saying, should tell us something like, we can't keep doing this. You know what I mean? Because y'all, only a small percentage of y'all are really wanting to actually have real unity in the community. Most of y'all don't.
Yeah, you can't have
it. It's built on racist men and women at the top that, you know, don't want to see us exist or prosper. That's our reality.
Hello.
Amen.
I'd like to step in, Brother Michael. Well, Black Wall Street, the race riot, that was a way of entrapment. They got us together. We were being successful. 35 blocks of all black businesses. Your black dependency was on one another, each other. So we was in the due diligence to survive and arrive. Okay? They came in. A mob, a white mob came in of attackers, and they say, well, we going to tear down what they have and oppress them again.
That's right.
They feel like the fear that they put in then, back then, will stand today, but it won't. It will not.
Amen.
So we can do this all over again. We will rise because even in the scriptures, it say the first was last and the last was first.
Come on
so he was always the last. So we will be first. It is written. I read it. And I believe. And so.
I sure do. Hey, you know what, Leona? Tell her, you from Oklahoma, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's what I want everybody to know because, like I said, we're doing it down in Oklahoma. We know other places are too, but we want to let people know that this radio show is coming from Oklahoma and that we have Oklahoma speakers and hosts and things going on. Saying, hey, man, we want all y'all to come down and be a part of what we're doing, man. Matter of fact, this past 7 weeks, we did a comprehensive study on black reparations. Brother Pruitt was our guest, and, man, he got a comprehensive plan now as far as trying to get us back on the right track to get our reparations that's old and long overdue. You know, he's got connections in Africa. He's got connections in Europe and different places like that there. And, man, universally speaking, y'all, this program can work, but by the same token, you have to get everybody on the same page. Everybody's not going to want to get with the program, so we're not going to worry about them. But at the same time, they do have the entitlement to the reparations just like anybody else do. So what I'm saying is that whatever they want to do, let them be theirs. Just don't stand in the way of our progress. That's what we're talking about. Now, back to Wall Street here. Y'all, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Who's that? Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, this is Keeley from Oklahoma City, and I'm just listening. I said I wasn't going to say anything. I was going to listen this evening, but what keeps coming to my mind is that I remember the elders, the soldiers, who sat down and shared some things with me that were getting ready to go through the transition, you know, to be with the Lord, and left information to tell me when I say, well, what do we do? How do I know? How would I know what to say or what to do? And, you know, so many of the soldiers, because we're children of the soldiers, you know, soldiers of warfare, and they never got a chance to stand up and speak their piece because they got tired and weary. I'm just saying. In Tulsa, this started. A lot of men were men who was in the war. Went to war for the United States.
Amen.
And those and all these brothers, it even went as far as Britain, Boston. When they came out, whether they were coming out of the war to hang out, have fun, or whatever, they were still not accepted. But see, they told me it's called a pass. That it's a pass that they left for the generation of children. After so many wars of things that happened in Tulsa, I said, well, what do you mean a pass? People say it's not what you know, it's who you know. So it's called roll call. If you have any fathers, grandfathers, great-great-grandfathers, whoever that was in the war, we are part of their bloodline. And if we're part of their bloodline, we are the children of today. We have the victory. We have to just do more research to understand the honor that they gave us. I mean, you know, it was times that when, like my father was in the war, sometimes they didn't send money home to the wives to help support mm-hmm. the family. Some things, a lot of things had happened to where the women had to fend and hustle for themselves or go to get what they call it, commodities and stuff like that to feed
yes,
their children.
I mean, we used to have to get them. Yes. I tell you, I ain't saying we used to have to eat them. You
yes.
know, at that time, you didn't have money, boy. Straight up.
Yes, but at the same time, they had what we call Blue Cross and Blue Shield. They had insurance for these military men and their families, but some couldn't read or write, so they actually turned their heads like, okay, we know we shook hands. We shook hands,
right.
And we agreed that we were going to treat you equal, but we didn't.
Right.
They
right.
didn't do that. So
but
when
how,
the elders...
Go ahead.
So,
no, I was going to ask you.
Go ahead. So now these elders who were dying that I sat at their feet when I was a nurse assistant to tell me, there's a roll call. You all are on the roll call. So you tell them who your parents are, who your grandfather, you know, who your aunt, whoever fought in the war. Because right now, if we're not paying attention, they are giving money. They have grants set up right now for anybody who's been traumatized by anybody, any forces that had to do with military, that now the parents is talking about, oh, my child, you know, he's been traumatized from having to move from state to state. What about the black people who've been traumatized by these same people that was in the war that were veterans that were fighting against the blacks? We're talking, by the way, to the hot top. They allowed
yeah.
that to happen, but they didn't give us
okay.
the full
right.
respect. And then you talk about, what's his name, Prince Hall. You know,
yeah.
things happen in Britain yeah. to where we got our rights, but people always talk about,
I want you to tell me, how are we going to get back to that progressive, high-octane independence as a community, culturally speaking, that they had before Black Wall Street was devastated to almost obliteration? How do we get back to repossessing lands? Now, I'm going to tell a lot of y'all, I asked her that question. She doesn't really have to answer right now, because right now, are y'all ready for this one? Did y'all know with the reestablishment of Black Wall Street today, man, them blacks don't hardly own nothing over there no more. Foreigners own it. Whites own it, Chinese mm-hmm. own it, Mexican own it. Y'all hearing me? I'm telling y'all the truth, man. You know why they did that? Them people illegally worshipped land, took from them black folks, and didn't even pay for it, but claimed it when they started talking about, we're going to clean it back up. When it came back to surfacing, they let people go in, like in the United States land run, go ahead and pick what y'all want, and it's y'all. Y'all think I'm kidding you. That's why that brother up there, I can't think of his name, oh, it's right on the tip of my tongue. Solomon, he's up there now filing that lawsuit for those black folks to get not only reparations, but the land that was wrongfully taken from them. We got ancestral people today. Now, you know why they got away with a lot of stuff, y'all? It's because a lot of those people back then, I think the last one who was, I think, 102 years old, she died. Rest in peace. I hope I'm wrong. But it was only one last sole survivor. I believe it was two. But the records have been erased. That's why during that time, y'all, when they came in and pillaged and terrorized that black community, I mean, they displaced people's birth certificates. They displaced deeds, warranties, and the whole works, man. Yeah, all your connections to houses and land you had. No, go ahead. Who was that? Go ahead.
And that's why, and this is why I'm saying, those who was in the Korean War, Vietnam War, we're talking about Agent Orange. We're talking about, like, everything that they're saying now that not us, they didn't start out with us, but they started out as white people. And I'm not prejudiced because I got white nieces and nephews and everything. But now they're wanting to give the families things that have gone on, not with us, but they started through the white community, but now they're trying to ease the black community in there to say, you got to share in this too. Well, guess what? All of this that they didn't tell people, it affected four generations of children. And if it affected four generations of children and maybe even farther because of the bloodline, the bad blood that they're saying, oh, if you was a veteran that been injured in this and that, and then now you got something for the spouse, if the spouse lost lost the baby during pregnancy.
Okay.
See, all of this that they're saying, we still have rights. We still are children of veterans of war. We've been traumatized through some of these veteran men who've been traumatized. And then when they came back home, they were so messed up from what they seen to where some came back, heroin, users, whatever, same way with the white community too. They're not telling the whole story.
Amen.
So we may have to go back to get our reparation from our bloodline families who had been in the war. They were traumatized, and it caused the wife to become traumatized by the wife not knowing what was going on with their husbands. But I thank God that the elderly, 90-year-old, you know, and that were dying, that was telling me the story. This is where it's coming from, to where we want our reparation back from all of our bloodline of fathers and great-great-grandfathers who fought the war, who had been traumatized, and this bloodline has carried it. It's caused so many mental problems to where now if you go to the VA, they're not going to tell you because they're shutting doors and not telling you that they go by a code word. It's a code word.
But,
and if you don't know the code word, you're not getting in to get none of your mama's, daddy's, what they call financial support, you know, for children to be able to go to college and get their degrees and, you know, so on.
Right. Okay, let's give absolutely, Keely, definitely, you're definitely on point. That's great. Hey, everybody listening in, this is Brother Bob Owitapa along with my co-host, Yeah Boy, right here in Oklahoma City. We're talking about tonight the destruction and demolishing of Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma in 1921. So, again, our callers, if y'all want to call in tonight, the area code number is 563-999-3789. The phone number is 563-999-3789. So be sure you call in tonight because this is your radio show. We are talking about Black Wall Street, the destruction of 35 blocks of the Black Greenwood District in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Sister Mayette, any others out there, let's see what y'all are talking about tonight. Talk to me. We got some more callers on the line as well, so we're going to get Sister Mayette. Of course, you know, you can jump in when you get ready, your co-host. So talk to me. What's going on, y'all? Talk at it.
I did want to address the trauma point that we have in our community. We have a lot of generational trauma, and I'm probably way far along in the, you know, in the bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
I was born in the 90s, but, you know, we are holding on, or we have those unhealthy traumas from, you know, war.
Mm-hmm.
From oppression that falls even further down into the generation underneath me. So I see that in the way the world is changing, the way we are responding to violence, the way we are speaking, what we normally are accustomed to hearing when we turn on the radio or entertainment that involves us Black people. All I hear is pain, trauma, hurt, you know, absence, you know, just loneliness. A lot of different emotions come out listen to each generation. It's been progressively getting worse because my generation and generations of maybe before that didn't really deal with the trauma as well because they were going through their own version of oppression and saying, you know, but we gotta stop it now. Everybody's kind of awakening to what reality truly is at this moment, and even younger generation is now knowing way ahead before I did, you know. But it's just, like I said, the trauma is something we have to deal with at whatever age we realize that we do have, that we are affected by, you know, what's happening to people that look like us every single day. And yet in turn, we have to get up and we have to have a smile on our face and be polite and, you know, and conduct ourselves well in public when at any moment, you know that we are born with a target on our backs, and not really wanting to realize that. It's a lot of our people that kind of drift off away into Wonderland because they don't really want to realize that this is the mark that we were kind of born with. And, you know, it was because our ancestors refused to give up. They refused to allow people to, you know, push them over. So, it, you know, it made generations after that, each generation a target to where now it's the norm now. You know, now we're having to fight. Now we're having to stand back up again because, you know, they're taking us off targets. And that's why I tell people all the time, go get trained. Go get you a firearm if you can. If you can't own a firearm, there's many of different weapons you can master. And you have to get ready for absolutely the worst thing to happen because of the unfortunate bull crap that we deal with here in America and across the world. For just being black, for just being us. And that's why they, you know, they had all these massacres because they didn't want to see us get anywhere.
Oh,
but
man,
Roger
looked at
them. We have to protect our investments. We have to. If we don't, we're going to end up in the same situation. So breaking that, you know, we're not going to have you do that again, and we're not going to sit here and be oppressed. So you're either going to see us rise or you're going to fall if you come against us. And that's how we
just
have
like
to live this. We have to, like, because we be able to live in peace, you know, and not have to worry about that target on our backs. But we need more people that look like us to stand up. And even if it's not playing a major part, everybody has a different role. You have your different ways of helping the community. I have my different ways, but as long as we're doing something to invest, as long as we're not sweeping it underneath the rug, and we're actually seeing what's going on and teaching people, we can. Michael, I like to say this. I can get out there and protest for like 5 hours, literally 5 hours. And not get a single person to want to join the gun club.
I can go out and
give outside of, you know, outside of myself and help somebody. And here comes somebody that wants to help. That's how we should be doing. As much as we do protest, we have to get We have a community that care, and that we don't only just want to isolate me as my aunt to get, you know, whatever success that I want to get, but I don't want to just go there by myself. I want to take some more people with me so they can have abundance as well. And that's what we're missing in the community is the selfless, you know, point, you know, outside of yourself. You want to help somebody. And that's how we're going to build it back up to the Black Wall Street, to the communities where we protected each other, to where we can establish some type of wealth and relationships with our community. And we can break down this illusion that Black people cannot elevate from whatever point that they're at. They're always going to be in this demographic. They're always going to make this amount of money. They're always going to be at these certain jobs. They're always going to have to be looked at as they are dangerous, that they are a threat to the community underlying. We're not going to accept that anymore until we stop accepting that narrative. Right here at this current point, and the masses of us is accepting the illusion, and we have to get out of that. We have to get out of that. So
the money is there. The money is there with the government.
All we have to do is say that we've been traumatized.
Okay.
Michael, this is Councilwoman Christina Midwest, the former councilwoman. And what I want to say is what I am hearing, Can you hear me? What I am
go ahead.
Hearing,
yeah, go ahead.
What I'm hearing tonight is that this conversation that we are having, it is also from the past, and it is, know your past and know your future. And so what I am hearing, observing from everyone speaking, one thing that we have got to do is have unity. And I tell you all this. I've been out there a while. I've been in the political realm here in Midwest City for 8 years. And I had to educate my people, and I had to give them information. Information is sometimes hidden. It's hidden because it's not a purity, not for everyone. But me, being in my position as being the city councilwoman in Midwest City, I want to make sure that everybody has the information. I even petition them to put the information when you do the water bills. Everyone needs to know this information about what's going on in Midwest City and what's available.
Yeah,
there, not just a few ear by ear what somebody told me and I hear it through the grapevine. No, forget the grapevine. Put it out in black and white so everyone can see what is available. And that was something that I have done. Now, I'm going to say this. I feel just as what we're talking about now, we need to be sharing information about anything that's going on and what, however it can help another black person.
Come on.
Now, that's what we need to do. Share this information. We have been so exclusion with information about building businesses in the community.
Amen.
I mean, business people, black business people. Have been exclusion, not sharing information, and it has not gotten us anywhere at all.
That's right.
It has not. We have not gotten anywhere at all with it. Because let me tell you all something. I've been out there. I've been on the boards, and I'm gonna tell you, I've been there. Sure, I've been by myself alone with all these white folks here. Going to all these board meetings and such. It was me alone.
Yes, ma'am. I know
you.
We work together. I know. Yeah.
I let them know I'm black and let them know about black issues. And do you know what? They appreciated what I was doing. They said, we love you. We appreciate it.
Because you represent your own.
The problem is that sometimes is that we want to think that they think we need to bash our people and degrade our people. But no, that's not it. We need to elevate our people. When I was up there in the boardroom, I elevated my people. I said, "Well, how are they going to know if they don't have the opportunity and they don't have the information? You need to give the information so they can have opportunity. Everybody.
Wow.
And so I'm going to say this: I see so many of my people when they get up a little bit high. They look down on their own people. But you know what?
They do. That's right.
The white people don't do it. Latinos don't do it. Asians don't do it. Nobody else does it but us. We got to wake up. We got to wake up.
Amen.
And if we don't wake up, we're going to get put back in slavery by ourselves. And
it's already coming if we don't be careful.
We are the one that put ourselves in slavery, too.
Hey, come
I want to say that from now on, every day, when you see another black person, you can't say nothing good. Say, "How are you doing? God bless you."
Okay.
When we start elevating and respecting our own people and giving them respect, you know what? I don't care. They may be at the lowest of the lowest. I'm going to tell you what I say to them. "How are you doing, sir? God bless you. I don't care." Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell what happened to us back in those gangbang days. I'm going to tell you what they done to us. They pulled a blanket over our ass. They blinded us. They blinded us by going against these young people. What we should have been is trying to encourage them, baby, we love you.
Yes.
Instead of saying, "Oh, I can't say I hate you, just a gangbanger." We love you, baby.
Come on, man.
I keep on my way.
Yes,
I have dealt with so many, from the high to the low. Mm-hmm. And I respect the low and I respect the high.
You got to. You can't discriminate.
Too, but you know what? It works. I see so many black men and black men sometimes with their heads down. I say, hold your head up high. Have a blessed day.
Come on.
God bless you.
Oh,
you don't say nothing nice to them. Don't say nothing at all. Just shut up and keep going. Because
yeah.
you mentioned something. They are elevating their people. They
right.
are elevating their people.
Yes, they are.
I know it.
Sure, I'm going to be brief.
No, go ahead,
when
John. We got plenty of time. Everybody talk long
when
they
you
want.
See on TV, when you on TV, you look at TV. I want y'all to understand this. And when them white people done shut up everybody, what did they say? Oh, they had a mental condition. They had a mental problem.
Yeah, that's how they do it.
They're having a mental problem. But when a black person do that, they valid. Oh, they're just an evil, valid person. They are valid,
and we
are represented. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah, we
better wake up and start helping our own people and elevate them. Because if we don't, we're going to put our own selves back in slavery. Don't be talking about what the white man is doing. Because we're
no, it's us now.
I see it all the time. I go into a store.
We need to bring ourselves together.
Black
can
people.
I say something?
What
so
you want? What you doing? I said, I want to ask her, ma'am, what is the problem? Well, I just need to know, we need to know, do you need anything? Rude! We are not slaves. We act like we are slaves to our masters.
Yeah.
We are not slaves. Stop that slave mentality, my friend. Get it out.
Amen.
Take it off.
Amen. That's
and if
right.
You don't know, God, Lord, take this slave mentality, my friend, off me. Because you don't
all
need
right.
it. Because you're going to put somebody
Charlie.
Like person in slave.
All right, Alan. Hold on just a second. Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am.
Hold that thought too long. Don't leave now. Y'all got it rocking. Go ahead, Leona. Y'all don't go nowhere now because y'all got a flow here in a second.
I am in Midwest City. I see a lot of military black men. I tell them, thank you for serving.
Mm-hmm.
I can go in any arena. I can go to the lowest, the mid, or the highest and be a servant because I'm real.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not faking and shaking. I'm holding my head up high because I've come a long way, but not by myself. By the pathway of the others, lack the people in Black Wall Street who have paved the way. But if we can embrace one another instead of steadily putting each other down,
come on.
Down.
Amen. Amen.
Hold our head up and let people know we are somebody.
Mm-hmm.
We are somebody.
Wow.
We're the people. We're the people now. We're the ones.
Yes.
Obama brought it forth. We're the ones.
Yes.
We're the ones. And
yes.
so
wow.
we might as well embrace one another. And I heard the sister say, we can't do it with love. If you don't have love, you don't have nothing, dog.
You don't have love, you can't do it.
You can't have anything.
That is the first commandment of the Bible, of the first commandment. That is the commandment of love. L-O-V-E.
That's right.
You can't do it.
That's where we're falling short at. We're looking at each other. I can't stand you and I can't stand you. You better stop taking you better stand them, and you better get along with your own people.
If we put it down right now today with each and every one of us who is joined together on the earth tonight, if we put it in our hearts, to love one another, embrace your brother, your sister, your elderly.
Come on. Yes,
your
ma'am.
Elderly.
Let's get this stuff right.
All of it.
Now,
we love.
Yeah.
And
I want to say this.
Uh-huh. Go ahead, ma'am. If y'all keep up, ma'am.
I
want to
say this. You know, we had, like I said, we have so many people, even within our community, that we can bring.
we have to start reaching out around us, and that's how we can expand. Amen. I know that, you know, I'm also in Midwest City as well as y'all. So
that's ironic.
I've been here for a while, and it's, you know, we all think that, you know, they've got us brainwashed to the point to where we look at our fellow brothers and sisters as enemies, but it takes us, the ones that are out of disillusion, to go out here and to reach out, because most of our people
Baby.
Are still under that notion. Mm-hmm. My brother finna shoot
me
if I come over here and say hi to him or smile at him. Like, you know, I don't even act like that. I might not even know the person, and I'm still going to say something to you. And, it, you know, it's not just us killing each other, but we've got to fight one side of the war. The war between our people, and that has to be solved. And then we have our oppressors, but we cannot be at our full capacity and our full strength to take on them if our community is still weak amongst each other. And we have not figured out this unity that we need to have. We've been coming at it from one angle with violence and allowing things to just happen in our community. But we can't do that no more. We can't just sit back and just let them kill each other and slaughter each other
for
apparent reason no more. We're gonna have to get in here, and we're gonna have to talk to them. We're gonna have to get in there and show them that we are there. If they're lacking, the ones that have to give, give.
Mm-hmm.
It don't always have to be something that social media has to see or you gotta tell somebody. But if you have it in your heart, go out here and help these people. Say hi, encourage them, talk to them.
Yeah, you're right.
It's
both your islands, that's good.
That change,
right.
It's those simple interactions
right.
that change people's minds and give them that encouragement that you didn't even know that they needed. But we need to give it back
ma'am,
to our people because they,
ma'am,
you know,
you
they're
all right. But let me just say this. Our people need information about how they can help themselves. They have to have that information to have an opportunity. You can't get an opportunity if you don't know what's available. And that's what has been put out
that's
here
true.
When I was in my position. Information. We have a place up here, up on 10th Street and Douglas. On 10th and Douglas, there is a place called Neighborhood Services. They do resumes. They have just started that. Resumes and They do a pantry every Monday. I think it's Monday and Friday.
What's the name of it?
You have to call
them
out. I'm not. It's one of them. They have a.
What's
the
name?
That it's been ongoing for a decade, or maybe so.
Oh, really?
But the problem is that our people, black people, didn't know about it, and I saw putting that word out there. I had called meetings. I called town hall meetings. And do you know who showed up? White folks.
Well, they don't pray, so they won't change
and
for real. That's why they
said a couple of times. So then I started going out on the street. I had to get out on the street, and I had to get my police out there because, you know, the neighborhood was bad, and they want to shoot
lying.
And kill one
Ooh.
Another. I had to get out
you
there
ain't
and,
lying.
And
Shoot,
walk
every day.
In front of them and tell them, we
Come
are
on.
Here for you. Do you know those are community, those people did not want that. But you can have a couple of five people that they just don't want to do right. Because they haven't had a chance. And because they never had a chance, they feel like everything needs to be bad. They just don't care. But you know what you do for those? You have to bring them on board. They're either going to come on board or they have to fall off. You can't help everybody, but you have to try. You have to put it out there and give them a chance and give them that opportunity to want to do better. Let me tell you all something. We all talking about all of this and such. Let me tell you, it's not always that easy. You know, we are living in a very discriminatory environment right now for as to work, employment, and everything for African Americans.
Amen.
And, you know, it's like some maybe not realize it, but it is. They're hiring them for about 2 or 3 months, and then they are firing them. You all need to look at the. You know, this thing has to be studied. I'm looking at all this. I see it, but I can't do everything all by just one person alone. It takes a congo of people. When we have issues, we need to come together and make it happen. Get together.
Make it happen.
Yeah.
Rally. Talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell
yeah,
you all
it,
something.
I mean,
another problem we have
it,
now, and
I,
Michael knows this, they are targeting
mm-hmm.
our children, our black children. They
come
are,
on,
they,
man.
They are trying to
divide
black families
yeah.
right now. They
yeah.
are attacking
you
these black
believe.
Kids. They
for
are
real.
Taking them away from the family. They are putting them with white people and anybody, and they are being abused.
Because
mm-hmm.
we
abused,
are
and
the
they are trying to change
people, councilwoman. Councilwoman.
Yes, ma'am.
Again,
yes.
we are the chosen people right now.
Oh, look at
we
our
can become an example to another one. Anybody
yeah.
else. Do it in your own demographic area. Maybe you can't reach people, you know, cross town or too far away. Do it in your own demographic. Be an example. Like you are. You are. I give you your
ma'am.
Props. You are. You're an example. But
amen.
Now, I've been doing it for a long time.
But we
if
have
we
to
take
yeah.
part,
to make, to
if
make
we
a
can
statement.
Take part within ourselves, and it may seem that we're not making a difference, but we're making something because we hear it tonight.
Oh, yeah, we're making progress, man. It's just slow.
But, ma'am, you know, when we make progress, we have to come together and make it happen.
Come on.
We have to come together and stand on an issue. You are, we can't, you can't get one person up there and say, well, we're having a problem with this and we need to get a solution to it. Well, nobody else,
mm-hmm.
do you know what they used to tell me? Let me tell you all something. Let me just shoot this at you right now. When I would be in my meetings and I would complain about things going on, you know what they would say? Well, we haven't heard anybody else. They haven't complained to us about it.
Oh,
we
no, they're not. They're
do you understand? So, you know, just
yeah.
like Dr. Martin Luther King said, if you are silent and you know it's a problem and you keep your mouth silent, you part of the problem too. And amen to
wow,
you.
Yeah, that's right.
Because if you don't
mm-hmm.
speak when there's a problem, you are a problem with it.
Okay.
That's what this is.
Everyone
say,
sees the problem, but our people are so oppressed. They're oppressed. Our young people are lost today because they came in and separated them from their poverty up. Nowhere to turn. Then it's their mothers and fathers that they come in, oppress them in the same manner. Don't give them no respect at all.
No, you
don't.
Right.
Do it
you're right.
in
tell
your
me
own
nothing.
Demographic. Bring your love.
Yeah, yeah.
Bring your love.
Yeah.
It's happening.
Bring your love.
One person can't do it alone.
Yeah,
but God
you know
doesn't expect us to do it alone.
Yeah, let me
ma'am,
say something back
exactly
here, y'all.
What, ma'am, I understand what you're saying. Ma'am, what you just said is correct. You are so correct. Let me tell you how I know what you're saying is so correct. I can tell you that. Because it was little kids, black kids out on the street. The black mothers and the parents don't kick them out on the street. They kicking it in the house, smoking their drugs, and the kids coming in from school, they on the street.
Oh, that is. There it
tell,
is right there.
I had to tell my Midwest City people, I need a Boys and Girls Club here. I went to Washington, D.C., and I told Inhofe, I told Colbert, I said, I need a Boys and Girls Club. You got kids on the street because they have no place
come
to go.
Come on with it. She needs some.
I said, when I finished with them, I got it. And I took them little black kids off the street and took them to a Boys
Thank
and Girls
you,
Club at Telstar.
Thank
and
you. Yeah.
Star, and
that's
I got
great.
A young man right now today. He's about 18 years old. He told me, Councilwoman, thank you. I said, for what, baby? He said,
amen.
For what you've done.
He
said,
a big step.
Put me out.
Amen.
My mom put me out the house. And so I couldn't come in until a certain time. And you know where he was at when she put him out? He's at the Boys and Girls Club. Let me tell you all something. We have
wonderful.
Got to find resources for the people.
Wonderful.
We
wonderful.
Have to
find, yeah.
You know what? I'm going to tell you all something. Every time if I'm going to get on this line and I'm going to have a conversation, I want to make sure I bring some fuckers. Next time, I want to make sure I bring some information about this, about that, what's going
yes.
on,
yes.
this and that, about resources
service.
And such. We
yes.
got to share that information.
Yes.
Share it.
Okay.
Our people can have it. And we don't just hold on to it, because if you hold on to it, you are no better than them if you hold on to
it. Oh, man, it's just like you're doing it. I'll say you right.
You get it out.
I'll say
because I'm going to tell you all, there are resources. We know they are. And every resource that we know can help another black person, we need to make sure that they can get out there that it can help them. So I don't know how these meetings are. I'm sorry. This is my first time on the line. Thank you, Micah, for inviting me, because you know how I am.
Hey.
I'm very kind.
No, you ain't done nothing wrong. Let's
all
y'all to feel.
And I don't lie. And what I'm saying is what I know for sure without a doubt, because
man.
I have dealt with it. And I just want to tell you all, this is just who I am. I'm real.
Yeah.
I don't have time. I am not
that's
a quick
what we want.
Person. I do not quit.
Alan.
I'm with what's right. I'm God.
We
right.
want real.
Not man.
We want the realness on the show. Now, can I say something? Don't nobody leave. Yeah, and then
I
think Keela wants to say, amen. Let me say this, y'all.
I
piggyback on all y'all saying. Yeah, just a minute, y'all.
Yes,
just,
if we are
everything
I live
that y'all
in
said.
I live in Midwest City. And I stand with you, sister, because I used to be the resident counselor for the Oklahoma Housing Authority, and I went through hell standing up for the elders and watching the elders get beat up by young people coming in that they were letting come in to stay there. I got held hostage, you know, and went through a mental just overwhelmed with the housing authority not even letting us know that they were releasing young people from out of the mental institution. And when I would see them, I'd say hi, son. You know, I would say hi, son, hi, daughter. But these were people to where I saw on the news just this past Monday where one of the elders, three young people, jumped this man and broke his hip. But it's like saying, these children are not educated, but if we start putting out bad laws to let people know what our rights are, if we as women can take back our cities by force, and like I said, I'm a soldier.
Wow.
And I'm from a city. We can get it started.
I'll be right on the battle line. I am a war veteran of the Devonshire Desert Storm, and I don't mind fighting. When I fought
me
for my country,
Lord knows I was in the service for
the community and for my people. But honey, I'm ready.
You've been out of Allen for battle. That's why I invited you, because I had been realized. I said, man, let me get down on the show. Because we've been talking about that thing anyway with them children and thing we're going to do next week. We'll be, matter of fact, talking about that, get to do a radio show on that so we can get more people coming out. Because we tired these white supremacists up here selling our children up the river as if modern-day slavery. Instead of selling the grown folks, now they're selling
that's
the babies. It's just a, they changed the tunes now. You know? So we got to get that straightened out, man. But let me pick back on y'all.
Yeah,
we're
going to do that rally this week. We're going to be out there. We're going to have the press. I have dealt with this.
Yeah.
You want? Let me tell you something. I have been dealing with black families in those 8 years. Nobody know what I've been dealing with. I don't get out and broadcast, well, I've done this and I've done that. But you know what? I was too busy trying to help the family. A black female, they took her child. She broke the child out, and she went to another city. They got that baby and brought that baby back to Midwest City and gave it to her mother. Let me tell you something. They didn't even give it to the grandmother. And when the DHS was asking her, why didn't you get your kids, the black DHS worker, she said, they wouldn't give me her kids. And gave it to a white woman. They look like little biracial kids, beautiful little kids. And that's what they've done. They are taking our kids. And let me tell you all, I'm gonna say this. I've been seeing so much. Let me tell you. They get these black kids, and they get them in that foster care, and they put them in the system, and they put them with white people. And so if they're young, like this young lady I know, she was young. And they just took her from her mother because she couldn't get medical for her daughter. when they could have gave her a medical, but they didn't give it to her. Her daughter became 18 years old. That girl is so messed up. She don't know if she's black or white.
Oh, man,
she
that is, man, that's crazy.
And
that.
Don't know if
that,
she's
crazy.
Black or white. She think everything
man,
a white
crazy,
person
man.
Do, she Confused can do.
Baby.
And she got in trouble and got a deferred sentence. We had to have her out and tell her, listen, baby, you black. You can't do that. What's her name did? I said, I don't care what she done. She want. Well, yeah, but I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a human being. Baby, it's not a human being. You're black.
Mm.
You got to watch yourself. Be careful what you do.
Yeah,
you can't do what she does.
Uh-huh.
They don't That's look right. at you like that. And it's just, I mean, you all, it's just, I've seen so much. It's so very disturbing how the mind frame that our black kids get when they with a white
That's what we got.
And they don't
crap.
Know who they are. And they get all the little privilege when they with the white person. And when they leave out and become 18, they their mind frame is messed up. Right. And so family could not, her family couldn't even deal with her. They said, we can't deal with her. I just can't deal. She do her country music, this and that. I mean, my God. It was just a disaster.
Let me jump in, y'all. We're getting short, y'all.
We're trying to get this child back on track, but we have got to keep our kids in their kinship, in their family, in their biological family.
We're going to give you, Allen, hold on. Allen, we're going to give you 2 minutes here in just a second. I got to say something here, y'all, because we got to get into a station break. But let me say this here. Now, y'all, she usually be the last, second to the last before we close out, but I got to make this statement. It's commercial break. But let me say right here, y'all, if I can have the floor a minute. To piggyback on all of y'all, what y'all stated tonight, the number one focal key that I heard from all of y'all, and guess what? You all traveled down different paths, but guess what? We all connected right back in the center because we were talking about the same thing, just in different ways of reaching it. See? So what I picked up from all of y'all is that we have power in unity in closing our gap by coming together in oneness. We are in this together, y'all. Let's frame that frame.
Man.
Not only that, we are here to where we must back one another. We must put our backs to each other. That way we're watching both sides of our back. Why do you think we have a back? Because it needs a man to watch it. We don't have eyes on our back, but you become that second set of eyes. You become that second hand of eyes, ears, and heart. So what are we trying to do then? The benefit of power in our unity, man, is a foundational concept of our consciousness, a discipline, and now using the excesses of our minds, which a lot of us don't do, which we know we only use about 6% of our brain anyway. You know, so what y'all talking about today, so what, that's amen. So because y'all talking about that today, what are we talking about? Unity is needed for our survival, y'all.
Amen.
So if I go on 4th Street
only way.
And you went there before me, you're supposed to tell me what I'm getting ready to expect because you already went down and evaluated the whole situation. After that, I'll be lost and talking, running into all kind of brick walls or whatever. You see? Mm-hmm. Unity helps us to protect us from evil doings. Hence, we become a people together fighting for one cause, one race, one peace of mind against the negative things that are constantly going at us on a daily basis. Having said that, y'all, we got about 2 minutes each.
We're going to speak love.
So we're going to start with you, Keely. Start with you with 2 minutes. Then we're going to get right around and get with Sister Mayotte. But however, Mayotte, you know you got a little bit longer than that because we get ready to close out. But go ahead, Keely. Everybody got 2 minutes because then we get ready to close out, y'all, because we want to keep things where we can have it next week. Go ahead, Keely. You got 2 minutes.
Well, I would like to say that we are the first teachers, women. We're the foundation of the home. And I believe that we can take the cities back by force with God in us. We can do this because it starts at home. And if we miss the mark, we can stand openly and say, hey, I'm sorry, children, we missed the mark. We was working hard. We was working 2 jobs, 3 jobs, you know, to try to make ends meet. And we can tell that story, what we've gone through, in order for the children to know we're not being hard on you, but we don't want you to make the wrong mistake that we made. We don't want you to make it. But I say if we start putting bylaws, what they call codes, and find out what the codes are and put the code in the bylaws on Facebook. Everybody's talking about everything else, but if we start letting them look up the bylaws and tell you what your rights are and tell you there's money available for you, for the families to have who's gone through trauma, being traumatized and gone through situations, they're giving all this grant money for people right now as we speak, but we're sitting and not even realizing this is where all this extra money is coming from, that they put in billions of dollars to open up new facilities to help not us, but to help other people. And if we stand up as women, they have to respect us because we are the first teachers, and we saying we didn't get all of this. We didn't get it. Y'all didn't just give it to us, but now that we realize that we stand with the power and authority of God Almighty in our hand and in the midst of us, we can make this happen, sisters. And we just only, how many of us just on the phone tonight? We can all come together and put our hands together, and it'll be a bomb in giving.
You got 30 seconds. Go ahead.
And so I'm just saying, I'm so glad to be able to hear the story of my sister who is sharing that all these opportunities happen in Midwest City, and it can spread abroad because, you know, each town you go to, each city or Dale City, Midwest City, they have these big signs up recognizing, wanting us to recognize who run that little town here in Oklahoma City. But if we can stand up, get up and stand up and fight for our rights, then I believe that it can get done. And if it has to start with Midwest City, then we can do this. You know, because it's all about people.
Thank you for your comment. You're definitely on point. I got to cut off. Time is about to catch up. All right, Sister Leona, talk to me. What's up with you?
Yes, sir. It was some very good information tonight from everyone. We have to remember that we're all one body, and even though we're a lot of different members, we equal the same source. Get it together and get it done. Our young people under us are looking at us to be an example so they should have a place to step into. And if they can get a place to step into, they can move out the way so the ones under them from generation to generation. That's what the Bible says, and that's how it is done.
Wow. Boy, y'all lighting it up tonight. Thank you so much for those comments, you and Keela as well. Go ahead, Sister Allen. Talk to me.
Well, I'd like to say this, that the next time that I come back on this line, I'm going to make sure I have some information, some substance to share to encourage
that's what we want. Come on.
What's going on and some information. We need to bring information when we come on this line. Every time we come on here, we need to be able to share some information about some resources to help these people.
Thank you. And help everyone.
Anyway, I mean, I don't care. It don't how big or small it is. Information to share. To keep people informed and to go abroad with it. Don't hold on to it because you won't be blessed if you hold on to it. You got to spread it out and send it to everybody you know. I'm going to be putting it on Facebook. Well, I'm not a Facebook person, but let me tell you, I can do some text. I'm just so busy. I don't do the Facebook, but I'm trying to get involved as much as possible. But I'm telling you all, information is opportunities for our young people and for everybody and for our black people. And that's it.
Amen. Hey, man. Appreciate it. Oh, man. Y'all, thank you. Keely, may I? It's your turn. Just drop it on you. Y'all doing great, y'all. I'll tell you what. I'm wonderful, man. I'm blessed to be in y'all's company. Go ahead on, man. I'm blessing all y'all's company.
It was a beautiful show. I feel like every time we come on here, that we have resources or we don't, we're still sharing knowledge. We're still educating. And sometimes that's, you know, sometimes that may be the thing that sparks the, you know, the light in our people, you know, being invited to the show, being invited to speak their mind open about their concerns in their community. You know, we need unity. We need people, you know, to come
Amen.
And to hear the knowledge that want the knowledge, you know, and
mm-hmm.
we can't save everybody, but we damn sure can try our hardest with the resources that we have. So that's the biggest thing, you know, us connecting as leaders in the community, as people that want to see change come together, you know, have some type of meeting or meet and greet or something amongst each other so we can share our resources, you know, continuously. If we hear about something, we can pass it along. I have actually a real story that happened just recently. I'm not going to disclose any information about the young lady, but, you know, she needed something that I didn't have at the moment, but I referred her to someone else that could, you know, probably help her. But she found, you know, she found a place where she could be at that was comfortable for her. At the end, Michael had to work together to try to find some type of resources, but we need more of that. Even the business, the black business owners that we have in Oklahoma, just in general, if they would come together and try to give back to the community and show that we are actually supporting each other, not only just from a revolutionary side, you know, but from a just in the community, neighborhood, you know, convenience store, all these little different businesses that operate under black ownership by black people that generate their own black wealth. We need those leaders to come out as well to make some type of difference in the community that they service, you know, or that they sell their products to. So I can keep going on with this, but for those that don't know, I am the national MOJ for the Fred Hampton Gun Club, as well as the chairwoman of the Fred Hampton Gun Club Oklahoma City chapter. Also, we service Oklahoma in general with, you know, helping them to find resources. I'm always trying to look for some more, so I'll connect with you ladies. I'll give y'all my phone number so we can try to do something. We're here in the same city. Certain things that fly by that I don't hear, but once I hear it, I want to be involved. I want to give, and I want other people to want to do those same things. So, yeah, my phone number is 405-905-0302. If you didn't get it now, you can call Michael. He'll give it to you. And we can connect everybody else. If you're interested in the Fred Hampton Gun Club, that's my phone number as well.
Come on
just
out,
text
y'all.
Me or
who
I'm speaking to and what, you know, what it is for, and then I can help you with that. Yeah. We do things in the community. We want to be connected with leaders and people that are wanting to do those same things. That's why I kind of go to Michael Sings and Yolanda and other leaders in the community's events, you know, to keep that going, you know, to see, hey, there's actually resources here. There's actually people that are going to take, you know, those stories that they try to sweep underneath the rug. You know, we want justice for you. And if we don't have the resources, we're going to reach out to people we know that may help as well. So, but we got to come together. We got to do it some way, somehow. We need to do it soon.
So, mm-hmm. Amen.
Michael, you have my number.
Yeah.
Michael, you have my number.
Like I say, this is not our last time, y'all. We're going to get, tomorrow, Alan, you know tomorrow, everybody's listening, at 1 o'clock, we're going up to Ralph Ellison Library. This is our board meeting for our October 22nd Domestic Violence Symposium. We want to meet at night because we got people, dignitaries, coming from New York and Denver, coming down here because they heard about what we do on a radio show and they heard about what we do in Oklahoma City, so they want to come down here, y'all. So we're trying to get all our speakers together. We're trying to get everybody. You don't just have to be a speaker. You just might want to be an usher or whatever. Man, we're trying to blow the bomb up on this one, y'all. I mean, we're trying to reach out to people here because that is one of the most frightening realities throughout the whole world, and that is domestic violence, man. 1 in 3 women are assaulted daily by a loved one or some companion that they know personally. not somebody down in the street or they stumble upon. You know, it's a family thing, and this thing must be corrected. But let me say, y'all, we got to get ready to close out here. This is Brother Baba Wetapa right here in Oklahoma City. My co-host, me at Yale Boys, right here tonight, as well as Sister Leona Keeley, and, of course, Christine Allen, Councilwoman from Midwest City. We appreciate all of y'all for coming on tonight. And this day, if there are any of you out there tonight, listen carefully. If you have a show that you think we need to do, don't be shy. Don't stumble up on it. Call us at area code 405-246-9089 and tell us what the topic is, and we'll definitely try to get it on for you, because you know, on this show, there's no right or wrong. There's no who's bad, who ain't. It's all about your opinion, because your opinion, your ideas, and thoughts all count. It is through you that I'm able to learn from my past mistakes, from my weaknesses and shortcomings. And together, if we collectively allow our minds to embrace where we're short at, to embrace our shortcomings and use our strong strengths, we cannot be defeated. So if y'all want to contact Michael Washington, contact me at area code 405-246-9089, as well as you can go to my Facebook page. I'm also the founder of Oklahoma Coalition Against People Abuse, where our motto is change your world and your world will change around you, and the founder of Empower People Incorporated. So again, I'm getting ready to close out because the time does not permit us to talk much longer. But again, we appreciate all of you who chimed in, and we appreciate those of you who did not get your voices heard. But as you know, your voices in reality was heard, because we are speaking on your behalf, and we are speaking in terms, and hopefully that you have got some out of it and you can be a better person than what you came in here tonight. So if you can, everybody, please love somebody tonight. Tell them that you love them before you go to bed, because tomorrow is not promised. I'm going to get ready to get out of here with a prayer, and I hope that all of you take this to heart. I love each and every one of you. May God bless and keep you. May he allow his face to shine up on you and give you peace. With that, everybody, good night. Be blessed, and hopefully we'll wake up and see each other tomorrow. Everybody have a great day. This is not the last time for me. We'll get ready to close out about 30 seconds. So thank y'all again, man. Y'all make my day. I mean, I'm somebody because I know y'all. Everybody be blessed, and everybody have one love.
Amen. Peace and one love.
Amen, and love you back.
Amen.
Amen.